Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale. Tonight we'll chat with Shekinah Black from Sixth Street Playhouse, which is celebrating 50 years of live theater. Later I'll chat with Ray Holly from Sonoma County Library about a patron checking out all of the books from the Pride display in an effort to make a misguided stance against full access to LGBTQI+ books. But up first, Greg Moralia with Outbeat Radio News.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of July 17th, 2022. Slovenia's Constitutional Court ruled that the Balkan nations' ban on LGBTQ marriage equality and adoption is, quote, inadmissible discrimination against same-sex couples. The Central European country of 2 million has 6 months to come up with a plan for legal equality for same-sex couples when it comes to marriage and adoption. The country could be the first former communist state to enact marriage equality in the world. The court ruled on two cases involving the rights of same-sex couples. Prime Minister Robert Golob of the Freedom Movement Party, considered a social liberals, said the National Assembly would have a bill to a vote in the next week or two. The Freedom Movement said, quote, we promise to work to prepare and adopt legislative amendments as soon as possible to ensure equal rights for all, end quote. The party has a plurality of seats in Slovenia's National Assembly and formed a coalition government with the left and social democrats last month. Slovenia was part of Yugoslavia, which banned male homosexuality in 1959. In the 1970s, the power to define a criminal code was given to the member states of Yugoslavia, and Slovenia decriminalized homosexuality in 1977. The country allowed domestic partnerships starting in 2006, and the Constitutional Court ruled in 2009 that they violated Slovenia's constitutional ban on discrimination. The National Assembly did try to pass a bill legalizing marriage equality, but opponents of the bill petitioned for a national referendum on marriage. That bill was defeated by a vote of 63.5%. And according to the Bay Area Reporter, during a ceremony held last week in the East Room of the White House, President Joe Biden awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to 17 recipients, including lesbian soccer player and activist Megan Rapinoe. The president opened his remarks with a joke that he hopes Rapinoe and the award recipient Simone Biles, who is the most decorated gymnast in American history, will find room for the nation's highest civilian honor among the many other medals and trophies that have accumulated throughout their athletic careers. The president then praised the women's leadership off the field and out of the arena in their work championing issues of pay equality and justice for victims of sexual violence. Rapinoe said, quote, being a gay American, I know what it means to look at the flag and not have it protect all of your liberties. And she added, quote, it's important to have white people stand in support of people of color on this. We don't need to be a leading voice, of course, but standing in support of them is something that's really powerful, end quote. Rapinoe has also distinguished herself as an advocate for LGBTQ rights, including through her charitable work with GLSEN. And in Colorado, a former assistant principal at a high school is suing the area's school district after he was fired for his objections to the drama department's production of the Laramie Project, which he claims is religiously charged. Corey McNellis claims he was terminated from Ponderosa High School in Parker, Colorado, back in October of 2020 because of his, quote, Christian belief and because of his expressed views, which are protected by the First Amendment, end quote. The Laramie Project recounts the small Wyoming town's reaction to the torture and death of gay college student Matthew Shepard back in 1998. Shepard's murder sparked a worldwide outpouring of grief and rage. The play, which premiered in Denver in 2000, was assembled from over 200 hours of interviews with the town's residents. McNellis' lawsuit against the Douglas County School District alleges that the Laramie Project is a religiously charged play that covers distressing material, including interviews with Christian leaders, some of whom share unsavory opinions regarding Shepard's murder, and cite their Christian faith as the reason for their views. McNellis was worried about how Christian religion comes across in the play. When McNellis found out about the play via an email to school staff, he replied asking, quote, as a dad of a student here and also an employee of the school, what is my recourse if I disagree with this production? What was the heads up to see if everything is cool, end quote. According to the lawsuit, a series of emails among staff followed, including an offer from a history teacher to provide a social studies perspective of the work, and McNallis to offer a Christian one. The email exchanges were forwarded by an unidentified staff member to administrators, including the district's human resources director and the school's principal. Shortly after, the district's executive director of the region asked McNallis to stay home because of his comments. After further investigation, McNallis was fired by the district, which cited emails related to the Laramie Project. The investigation also found McNallis had complained as a parent about COVID protocols at the school. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moraglia.
Shekinah Black handles public relations for 6th Street Playhouse, which is celebrating 50 years of presenting the best of live theater to the lucky folks here in Sonoma County and beyond. Welcome to the show, my dear.
Thank you so much, Gary. I greatly appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Can you offer us a brief history of 6th Street Playhouse from its humble beginnings to the multi-theater establishment it is now?
Sure. Well, it is a long legacy, 50 years, and it wasn't always under the name of 6th Street Playhouse, but that has been the case for over 20 years or almost 20 years. And it was a merging of Actors Theater and Santa Rosa Players back then. And then they bought the building. That is actually something we're doing right now, but they merged together to form a company, and then it became 6th Street Playhouse. So we're resting on the shoulders of giants of those two organizations who came together to make sure we have vibrant theater in our community.
Nice. How long have you been in this location?
It is, I believe, since 2004. I believe that is since 6th Street's been at that location. I think that is correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's it like working there? And talk about some of your coworkers and the staff.
Sure. I love working at 6th Street Playhouse. I'm going to celebrate a year with them in September. And so I feel like this company genuinely loves theater, loves what they're doing, and is very precise about what they're presenting and why. And so some of the people I'd like to mention would be our managing director, Annie Clark, and she's just a force to be reckoned with. I've often said she's grace under pressure because, as you know, theaters, not just ours, have had to shut down and start back up because of the pandemic. So that's deeply affecting what's going on with theater. So Annie's just led us in such a great way. I really appreciate her. Our current artistic director also is Jed Sacrin, and he does a great job making sure those productions are coming to fruition. And one of our newest members is Asia Gianola Norris, and she is the director of education and community engagement. Asia first joined the company when she directed Hair a couple months ago, which was, even though that production is over 50 years old, it was very relevant, and she did a phenomenal job with the cast, and it was just incredible, that production. And so Asia then is now heading up our education department, where she's helping to teach young people the skills of acting and theater. And we have classes, we have camps, and we have performances, and those are all under her wheelhouse, as it were. And also, I want to say something about that, because sometimes young people or even older people don't want to be on the stage, but they want to be involved. And so we have a technical department that is also teaching stagecraft to young people. And so when the productions come up that are the studio, we call them the studio performances, those will also have elements that the young people have made, a set piece, and something, you know, where they can contribute. But if somebody doesn't want to be in the limelight or the spotlight, but they can still very much be involved. And I think that's an important message, that there's so much to producing theater. You don't just have to be on the stage.
That's right. And those of us, and probably many of our gay audience, were involved in theater from junior high or high school. And we remember that there's something for everyone to do, from construction to costumes and assisting you get the word out, in addition to acting, of course, and directing and stagehands. Exactly. Right.
Exactly right. Yes.
And a shout out to that hair production. Oh my God. I mean, it blew our hats off. I went with four friends and we all loved it. A friend of mine who had never seen Hair, who's a little younger and really sort of didn't know that much about it, loved it. And that huge cast, for one thing, which, you know, I know what it's like to try to direct a giant bunch of people. But the movement and, of course, the voices and the acting. And, of course, we're dealing with issues that we're facing right now. So it's so timely. You know, we've got this war in the Ukraine and, you know, we've got anti-war sentiment, right? And war hawks that are clashing. But it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. So you're sort of in the midst, probably the beginning of the 2022-2023 season.
Yes.
And you've got so many upcoming shows, and we've got time. So let's talk about some of them, maybe the ones that are coming right up. I know you've got one opening in August 11th.
That's correct. Pride and Prejudice. And so I want to say this is not your grandmother's Pride and Prejudice. This is a twist on Pride and Prejudice. This version was actually written by Kate Hamill, based on the classic by Jane Austen. So people need to understand there's some twists. I'm not going to do any kind of spoil alert, but I would highly recommend this for your listening audience because there's some really interesting elements that have been woven into this production of Pride and Prejudice. So really exciting. I've got the read through recently, and of course the cast and director are just top notch. So people are in for a real treat.
Nice. And Cabaret after in September?
So once again, another very relevant one. So Cabaret opens September 15th. And like we were talking about Hair being very relevant, Cabaret is equally as relevant, you know, dealing with some issues leading up to the Second World War. You know, sometimes people just think Cabaret, oh, that's that one with the cute song and dance and everybody's happy, but not really. When you look at it deeper, on a deeper political level, this production is going to be very important for people to see right now. Yes. Yeah, exciting stuff. And we also have a production of The River Bride coming up, which is dealing with a Latinx community again. We just had Real Women Have Curves last season, and that went really well. And so this is a good production. And also we're bringing back Scrooge in Love. And I have to say, I loved that production. My position at Sixth Street at that time was so that I had to not had to. I got to see every single production presentation of it, every single show. And it was so riveting, so good. So, you know, people know A Christmas Carol, that classic tale. Well, this is a twist on that. This is what happens a year later to Scrooge. And so Scrooge in Love, without spoiling it, people have to come out and see it. But I was surveying the audience and asking them, you know, what did you like the best? And there are four fabulous ghosts. And inevitably, everybody had chosen their favorite ghost. And just the theatrics and the set and, you know, the real theatricality of that production. I really encourage people. I think it's going to be a staple for people to see annually for the holidays. Just really fun, uplifting, which we need.
And what a great way to spend the holiday, right? You know,
truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. And truly, you know, when we think about the material things we like to give as presents and gift people, what better than an experience to sit there in a theater to remind you, why aren't I here every month? Why aren't I seeing every production? You know, this is the best way to spend 2 hours, a huge sense of community. There you are with your community. You're seeing these talented people perform these amazing shows. I mean, that's really interesting that you're doing the show again. You did it last year or 2 years ago?
Yes. No,
just last year.
And for the first time, and it was such a hit that the powers that be decided to bring it back. And I fully support that decision because it's like one of those where you want to make a tradition and go back and see it again and again. And like, I don't know how many productions I saw, probably 30 or whatever it was, 20 something.
Yeah.
And it never got old. It never got boring. So I really encourage people. And something you said, you know, it's like getting out to the theater, like before there was internet, right? That's, people did more of that. And even before there was television, that is the way community got together, was to go see theater and support theater. And then I think we saw this where it kind of dropped off. And now I think there's a resurgence of people really understanding how important it is to go to live events, especially after the pandemic shut us down for 2 years. And then people were hungry for it. So please encourage people, you know, to support the arts. And, you know, like, how many cups of coffee does now, it's like $6 for an oatmeal.
Right.
Right. I can forego that for a week, and now I've got a ticket, you know, to a show, a great show. And the other thing you said about it, you know, it's a great time, that time of year, because it's an experience rather than something you get, this little trinket, and now you got to dust it and figure out where the thing goes. That, to me, hands down, show tickets to any kind of quality show are the gift that keep on giving.
Yes.
Right. So you will remember something that you saw years ago, and it's still bringing back delight and joy. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's so important to
support
live theater.
Right, right. Most of us have far too many things. And it's a wonderful thing to, like, give to an older person, an older neighbor or relative, or to a young person that may not, you know, be into theater. And you take, you know, you're taking them. You have the experience together.
Yes, exactly right.
Right,
exactly.
Right. So talk about how a season comes together. Do you sort of decide on the shows and then look for the director? Then, of course, the cast follows and the crew. Talk about the nuts and bolts, you know, making the sausage, as it were.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That is exactly right. So there is a play reading committee at Sixth Street Playhouse, and they are really the folks who are deciding what the new season will look like. And then once that gets into place, you're exactly right. The auditions happen for the cast, the directors. If there's choreography, we're looking for a choreographer, and all the elements need to come together. And amazingly, they do. You know, we're just a small but mighty nonprofit, but the caliber of work that's presented at Sixth Street Playhouse is continually blowing me away. It's just amazing. So it's a lot of dedication, you know, from people who really care about the arts.
Yes, yes. And you have folks coming from sort of all over the state or the country to be in productions at Sixth Street.
That is true. So one good example of that is the set designer for Pride and Prejudice is based out of Los Angeles and has been meeting us via Zoom and sending us sketches via Zoom based on the, you know, schematics of the room. And really an interesting way to work with people because of this modern technology. So that's one case where that's happening. And another would be Every Brilliant Thing coming up with Craig A. Miller coming back from Idaho to be at Sixth Street Playhouse at the end of the month. And we're really excited for him to be coming back where he was artistic director from 2011 to 2018 at Sixth Street Playhouse.
Nice. And that's a benefit performance 29th and 30th?
And 31st.
And
31st. Right. Every Brilliant Thing is a one-man show that is dealing with a challenging topic that affects everyone, which is mental health, or in this case maybe mental illness would be the way to say it, but in an uplifting way that is not frightening, and it's more engaging and really an important piece of theater for people to see. And then generously, this production is for our Buy the Building campaign, because we did actually, the ink was signed at the end of last year. And so we are buying that building. I mean, it is happening. And so we just need more money to be able to continue what needs to happen there. The building is older. There's some renovations, etc. So this is definitely a benefit performance for Sixth Street Playhouse.
Nice, nice. And your neighborhood will be changing rapidly, won't it?
I'm telling you. Yeah, I really, you know, there's That's true. You know, I hope that that doesn't make the economy go up so much that people who are living there can no longer afford it. You know, that's happening all over the country, all over the world, actually. So I really hope we keep that grassroots feeling in that downtown section. But theater is very important to any community, and to have it right there, right in the heart of downtown Santa Rosa is fabulous.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What else do we have? Oh, so you talked briefly about the classes and the children's summer camp experiences. So give us more information about those. Sure. We're in the middle of summer now, so I imagine they've already started.
Yes, that's right. So we actually have this coming weekend, which with Annie Jr. So they're always a junior after because it's not the big production. They're about an hour long, and it does feature the young people who were studying in the class of Annie Jr., and now they get the opportunity to perform. And so that's really, really exciting and pivotal, I think, for any young person. And of course, their families and friends are very excited to see them. And then in the beginning of August, we have Legally Blonde Jr., which was so popular with young people to sign up that we actually had to make two classes. So there's a big cast, but they split it so they'll be in two different productions over the course of that weekend. So really exciting. It's really, I don't know, Annie Jr. is such an old, or Annie, right? Little Orphan Annie is so old, but still contemporary and still really fun. So I just think it's great. We just had Madagascar Jr. and the young people, just seeing the delight on their faces, mm-hmm. the smile, and, you know, really present and really talented at such a young age. It's so encouraging.
Nice, nice. And what about some of the classes? Are there some that are happening?
Well, yes, thank you. So July 15th is the registration for the fall classes, and then those will end up being performances as well, which we have 101 Dalmatians Jr. and Adams Family Jr., and that'll come out more around Halloween. So really fun, great productions to be involved with, and great productions to come and see. You know, for a young family to have an activity to be able to take their little young ones to see somebody on stage, a lot of times those moments make a difference in somebody's life, right? Where they go, oh, I remember, like for me, Gary, when I was very young and I grew up in Los Angeles, I saw Fiddler on the Roof at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. Los Angeles. Wow. And I remember the ghost flying around, and I thought, I want to know how that's happening back there. I was more interested in how was that happening. I knew something was happening. And that sort of launched me into this career in theater arts and entertainment. But from that pivotal moment of my parents deciding to take me to see that production. And so that's why I really encourage parents to take your young kids to see live theater, please. It's so important.
Yes, yes. And what about classes for adults?
You know, Gary, I do not know what is happening there. So yeah. I cannot say at this time. I think there is, you know what? I know there is one happening, which is interesting. It's about lifting in dance. You know, so when you do those dances, you have to know how to lift. A long time ago when I was a student at Sonoma State University, I took contact dance and we learned to lift up, like, oh, you fall up. That's what she said. Instead of falling down, you fall up. So I know that's coming up, and I'm sure other things are in the pipeline.
Nice, nice. So I would imagine it's been pretty tough with COVID the last 2 years. I guess we're almost 2.5 years at this point. I know 9 to 5 musical, you had to cancel the sort of extended run. So talk about the impact the pandemic has had on Sixth Street, and what you're hoping will happen, you know, at the next performance. I don't know if you're still going to require masks and.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Actually, we just had a meeting and decided we're going to stay with our vaccination, proof of vaccination policy and masking policy, because exactly what you're saying, unfortunately, that last weekend, 5 shows of 9 to 5 had canceled because COVID had reared its ugly head again. And so in my short time of 10 months at the company, almost every single production, play or musical, has had to be postponed or in this case fully canceled because there was no room to move it. And other, and those, you know, professional actors, Danny Beam already had a commitment. She couldn't extend the run of 9 to 5 any further. So I would say to the theater community as a whole, the pandemic has been absolutely devastating. You know, just from us in our small town, Sonoma County, all the way to Broadway, it has been so challenging for people.
Yes, it really has. And you're a nonprofit, so talk about how folks can make a donation, how folks can support Sixth Street Playhouse as you move into, you know, your new millennia.
Thank you. Yes, so going to our website is a great way. All the info's on there to make a donation or to buy tickets, sixthstreetplayhouse.com. And I think it's really important that people buy tickets and show up at a show, because sometimes people will use that as their donation and then they don't show and then there's empty seats, which is really disappointing for the cast. Most of our houses are full, if not sold out, thankfully. But I just want to say that to somebody, if you're able to make a donation and buy a ticket, you can let us know that you're not going to attend and we can gift that to somebody who cannot afford a ticket. Because sometimes, you know, with the cost of living, the cost of rents, the cost of gasoline, people cannot budget in a show. So please do let us know if you'd like to buy a ticket and get, have us gift it back to somebody in the community. Be happy to do that.
Nice, nice. Give the website address.
SixthStreetPlayhouse.com.
Great, great. So can you purchase season tickets? I know you've got sort of different ways to see productions and get a season ticket or individual tickets. So talk about the, I think it's six shows, or there's a few. Great.
Yes, there's one that's at 6, there's one that's at 9, and there's one that's 10, which is a bonus of a year of with Frog and Toad. So that's happening in January. So all the info is on the website about purchasing season tickets. What a great way to, you know, that's a great gift to first of all yourself, and then to give to somebody else if you can, a whole season, so that you know, oh, I'm going to see great shows starting in August and going all the way through June. I know what I'm doing once a month, which is just really great.
Right, right. Yeah. The one fun thing you know you're going to do every month, right?
Exactly. And if people are not able to do that, single tickets are also on sale for all of the productions, which is just, you know, really, really important to go and see something. Go, and some people have never been to the theater, which is amazing to me, but I've talked to people who had their very first theater experience at Sixth Street Playhouse, and they're just like, oh my gosh, sign me up, I'm coming back. That was incredible. So yeah, really quality. I'm really proud to be a part of the organization.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, if you've got a husband or wife or a partner, I speak from experience, who, you know, is kind of into it, kind of not into it, like, just go ahead and get two and you'll ask a friend. You'll never be alone, right?
Exactly. Or go by yourself. You know, often I'm in the position where I need to go because of work, and I'm actually really comfortable seeing a production by myself, and it's something fulfilling. And we do have people who just buy single tickets, or we have single tickets, you know, they're subscribers for the whole season, but they're only going by themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's actually a wonderful way to see theater, but it's also really fun to, of course, to go.
Yes, yes.
And
of course, there's a nice intermission with munchies and vino and beer and soft drinks, and then you're out there with your community.
Exactly. And all of that goes back to support our nonprofit. So it's really important to support nonprofit work anyways. And this kind of nonprofit is always uplifting, you know.
Always, always. Yeah. So do you get financial support from some businesses? You want to give a shout out to some of those?
Sure. Corbell. We appreciate Corbell. We appreciate Exchange Bank. The list of sponsors is on our website. So definitely we couldn't do what we do without those donations. And the one for every brilliant thing, I will say we have a very special sponsor, which is Cold Stone Creamery, with some of their special ice cream, because it goes along with that production of Every Brilliant Thing. I will not spoil that one either, but there's something to do with ice cream in it, and of course it's summer, so who doesn't want some ice?
That's right.
Yeah, so it's really, great to have that kind of, and our individual donors, oh my goodness, we couldn't do it without folks either. You know, a lot of, so what I jumped in and helped box office with some of those unfortunately canceled shows, and a lot of people were, instead of wanting their money back, they said just keep it as a donation. So thank you to the people who did that, you know, over, especially for 9 to 5, because that was really hard on everybody. It was just, you know, you're going one way and then you have to stop and be the bearers of bad news that the whole production got canceled, basically.
I know. I was bummed. I was really looking forward to it. It's a musical I've never seen. So yeah. maybe in seasons to come, we'll have a return of 9 to 5. And like you said, I mean, at least when the times I've been there, it's almost completely sold out. So don't wait if you're interested in a show. I mean, you've got lots of opportunities. You've got matinees and, of course, evening performances. But, you know, jump on those tickets if you're interested in a show because they go quickly.
Yes, it's true. So also speaking of tickets and shows, can I talk about something I'm personally responsible for is bringing the concert series. This is our inaugural concert series at Sixth Street Playhouse. I have a background in producing concerts, a long background in producing concerts in the community. And of course, in 2020, that got canceled. And it's really important to have live music. So I am so honored to have Shauna Morrison and Caledonia at Sixth Street Playhouse on Saturday, July 30th. Shauna Morrison is the daughter of music legend Van Morrison, and she always does a few of his songs, but she is a talent in her own right and has a great band, and we're really looking forward to that. And tickets are selling. I expect it to sell out. And then a little side note is, personally, I think dancing is really important, you know, getting out and going to there's no more clubs, I don't think, that exist. But anyways, that feeling is really important. And so we are producing an after party called Moon Dance that night in the rehearsal studio at Sixth Street Playhouse. But it's going to be called Studio 52 as a nod to Studio 54 in New York, where one of the DJs, there are three DJs on the lineup, but DJ Loisaida is from the Lower East Side, which is what Loisaida means. And so he and two other DJs are doing this dance event. So it's really about people coming out to dance to some great music, different genres by these three different DJs. And we're opening doors at 10 p.m. and the event will go from 10:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. So we're really serious about coming out and dancing and mixing and mingling, just like we used to in the old days, where it was really fun to be around.
Nice. That's a great idea. Good for you. Good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We all need to get out there and dance.
and your
website is amazing. I mean, anything you'd want to know about Sixth Street is there on the website, nice and concise, nice and clear, all of the details, you know, dig deep if you want, but really look at that calendar and start buying tickets for those upcoming shows that look interesting to you.
Yes.
You intriguing, all of them. They all sound intriguing. Pride and Prejudice, you've got me, and Cabaret for sure.
Right. Little Shop of Horrors, who doesn't love that live plant, you know, the plant eating?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Audrey.
Yes. And Raisin in the Sun, which is a classic. Mm-hmm. Always Line. Oh my gosh, fabulous. Smart People and Something Rotten. Those are all, you know, so there are 10 shows, like I said, coming up for the new season. And then we'll have these special one-off events. And I will be producing more concerts at Sixth Street Playhouse.
So oh, great.
I really appreciate people supporting all of the arts.
Absolutely. Well, my dear, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Gary.
Best of luck. And we'll see you out there at the theater.
Wonderful, Gary. Thank you so much. Take care.
You're listening to KRCB FM Roner Park, KRCG FM Windsor, both part of Northern California Public Media.
We welcome to Outbeat Collage Ray Holly, Public Information Officer, Communications Manager at Sonoma County Library. Thanks for joining us tonight, Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Happy to be here.
A religious group's campaign to remove books with LGBTQ plus themes from public libraries spread to Sonoma County last month. A patron checked out all of the books in a Pride Month display at the Rohnert Park Cotati Library and posted a photo of him with the books on the religious group's website. This is part of an ongoing national crusade to inhibit children and young people's access to books with queer, about queer individuals and people of color. Ray, what else can you tell us about the incident?
A few clarifications, and I'll tell you what I can. The library has not and will not identify the patron by name, age, gender, or other identifying characteristics. Our patron privacy policy is very firm on this, and it's really there to protect everyone. In this case, I can confirm that a library patron borrowed 52 books, and while staff wondered why, they did not ask. To use an example that's probably relevant, if a patron wants to check out books about gender identity, sexual orientation, or coming out, we are not going to ask them why. Libraries are safe places for expression and curiosity, whether we agree with your politics or not.
That's good to know. Have the books been returned or replaced?
That's kind of a two-part answer, and both of them are yes. The display was restocked the same day, so patrons who came in afterward had more access to books with LGBTQ plus themes, and all the borrowed books were returned in good condition before their due date.
Oh, well, that's good to know. So sort of a stunt to make a point.
It certainly does seem that way. I mean, that's where all the evidence is pointing, that it was a stunt. And while we're against and we're very concerned about any attempt to inhibit access, there is a sort of a backwards appreciation you have to offer for the patron for bringing back the books, for following the rules.
This is true. This is true. Have there been any other incidents, maybe not necessarily queer-themed books, but with other books being, type of books being targeted at one of the library's branches?
People do express concerns here and there about books. And the concerns come from all over, not only from conservative groups. There's a gentleman who's called me a couple of times over the last couple of years wanting to know how he can get us to remove books about guns, because he feels strongly that those should not be available. And we don't make those kinds of decisions for our patrons. We make everything available. The most common example that library people really usually use is to point out that Adolf Hitler's famous book, Mein Kampf, is available in the library. But there's also books, there's Trump's book is in the library, and that's probably not checked out very often in Sonoma County.
But you also would stock a book like The Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, yes, of course. Anne Frank and Ayn Rand, we've got them both.
There you go. So what is the library's position concerning children's books that some may deem inappropriate?
Well, the short answer is that we don't make decisions on behalf of parents and families. That's really not our role. The First Amendment of the Constitution also protects your right to access information, and it doesn't matter how old you are. Having said that, we have a very clear and transparent process in place that allows anyone to request that we reconsider a book at any time for any reason. And we take those requests seriously. Everyone has a say at the library.
So can you talk about that process? If a person thinks a book should be removed, how does the library approach that?
Sure. So our website, sonomalibrary.org, if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a link that says policies and procedures. And our collections policy is in there. Okay. It explains how we choose books and other materials. We have an entire division of experienced people who choose books based on their popularity, relevance, and diversity. It's really important to us to develop, maintain, and provide free access to materials that reflect the needs and the changing needs of the people in Sonoma County. We take into consideration their age, ability, education, economic situation, ethnicity, occupation, religious belief, and just really their human condition. We want to offer something for everyone. And again, the collections policy explains how any individual can ask us questions and basically challenge a book if they choose to.
Any idea on the numbers of books or the types of books that have been rejected by the library? Is that number relatively small or substantial?
I don't have that information. I could get it for you, but it is very small.
It's very small. Okay. Right. Okay. And in the same vein, how can there? I would imagine also on the site there's a way to request books that they're unable to find within the system.
Yeah, and that is a fantastic aspect of our system because we have 15 public facilities, so 12 regional libraries, 2 community libraries, and a special collection library. They're all connected. So we can transfer books from one branch to another. A library patron in Occidental can borrow it and have access to the same books as the patrons in our largest branch in Santa Rosa. We're also part of a multi-state consortium. It's called Link Plus, that increases access to millions more titles from libraries all over California, Nevada, and beyond. And they're all available to borrow at no cost. We have an entire department of people who are receiving Link Plus requests from other libraries and then distributing to branches for our patrons to pick up, and also lending ours. It's a wonderful system. It's all available with a library card.
Right. And everything, of course, is free of charge. I know the library has changed some of its policies. You really don't have late fees anymore. There's really sort of no penalty if you end up keeping a book or DVD or the CD longer than you're supposed to.
Yeah, that was an access-based decision on our part. Okay, we had 40,000 people in Sonoma County whose cards were blocked when we made this change 3 years ago, and their cards all became unblocked at once. A lot of the families in Sonoma County rely on the library for information, access, literacy issues for their kids, and we don't want someone to be in a situation where they're looking at a library fine, and they're looking at health insurance costs, and they're trying to make that uncomfortable and terrible decision. We were happy to get rid of the late fines. If you don't bring it back, if you keep it forever, we're going to ask you to pay for it. But if you bring it back late, there's no fines. We're happy to have it back.
That's wonderful. That was a very kind move by the library system, and understandable. Do you have any figures about the types of figures about how many books are checked out a year, or how many DVDs are checked out? I mean, there's many ways to get books. You can get them audiobooks, of course, written books. You can download the audiobook or the written book also. There's also those amazing little Walkman type things that it's a book and you get the earphone and everything. So if you can give us some numbers so we get a feel of what the library system here in Sonoma County, how they're serving our community.
Sure. So I'm just looking at a report that we generate, a monthly report, which is also on our website as part of the Library Commission monthly packet. So from May 16th of this year to June 15th, so that month-long period, we circulated 312,269 items. That includes about two-thirds of that as physical checkouts, people who came and picked something up, and another third or so, more than 100,000, were digital checkouts, people checking out an ebook or an audiobook or something like that. So, you know, 300 times 12, if that trend holds, you know, we're 3.5 million or so items a year that we lend.
Wow.
Again, it's all free with your library card.
There you go. And talk about getting a library card, because I realize there may be some folks out there who feel, I don't have the right identification, I don't have this, I don't have that. How do folks go about getting a library card?
So we, when we went fine free, we also changed our borrowing policy to make it easier to get a library card. When we changed it, we had just been through the Tubbs fire a year and a half prior, other fires. We know that people are more mobile right now. Sometimes that's very much against their will. You know, people are just having trouble finding stable shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to make it easier to get a library card. And challenging me a little bit here, but as we're talking, I'm looking up that policy. But basically, where is it? Library card and borrowing policy, there it is. we've made it easier. So you don't necessarily have to come in with all the information that you used to have to come in with. So we, you can come in with basically one form of ID. Okay, we like to get a photo ID if we can, but it can be as simple as a bank card, a transit card, a membership card, an alumni card from school, any sort of government issued ID. Military, law enforcement, tribal, school. You can bring in a school card, a green card, and of course, driver's license and passport. You can also just go online and get a digital card right away. And that really works very well for a lot of people, especially if you're what we call a digitarian, which is the person who's really relying on our digital resources, reading lots of ebooks and audiobooks.
Nice.
But if you're not sure, just pop into your local library and ask them.
Okay, great. So
we love it. We love giving out library cards.
Very good. So you one doesn't necessarily need to have a permanent address or proof of address.
We're gonna make it work.
Okay.
Just come in.
There you go.
A lot of unsheltered folks have library cards and use the library regularly. And again, you know, maybe you've moved for work or for your personal situation. Maybe you lost your house in a fire. We don't want people who are in that sort of situation to not have access to the library.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Talk about some of the services that the libraries themselves, the physical libraries, provide your patrons or our community.
Sure. Well, our main business is still books, and I think will be for quite a while. But you can come into the library. There's a trend called the Library of Things that's out in the industry. You can come into the library and you can check out a backpack. And the backpack has a Sonoma County Regional Parks parking pass. It's got trail guides. It's got a journal. And you can go for a hike and, you know, look at birds and look at, you know, flora and fauna and enjoy yourself. You can come in and check out a toolbox. That's something we've done in cooperation with the energy folks at the county. And you can take that toolbox home, and there's tools and guides in there to make your house more energy efficient. We're studying other lendables right now, but we will loan you the internet. You can come in and borrow a Wi-Fi hotspot. We're using the Verizon platform for that because they have the most complete coverage in Sonoma County. There are places in Sonoma County where they don't reach. After the Tubbs fire, we had people who were living in their campers up in Fountain Grove on their burned out home site using a Wi-Fi hotspot to connect to the world. You can borrow a Chromebook, which is a laptop computer that comes with a hotspot as well. We have free Wi-Fi, free high-speed Wi-Fi indoors and outdoors at all of our branches. We have tens of thousands of uses a year outside our branches. People who just sit down outside the branch and connect their phone or their laptop or their tablet to our Wi-Fi and use it for whatever people use the internet for, applying for jobs, applying for student loans, cruising Facebook, whatever they're interested in. We always have the periodicals in the library. That's a traditional item for us. We're experimenting and exploring other forms of printed literature. You can come in and get a graphic novel collection in a backpack and take them home. We've got other book bundles that librarians love to prepare for people who have special interests. And then the events are all coming back in the library. Story times. Right now, we're in the middle of summer reading. So your local library will have musical performances, all kinds of educational things you can experience either virtually or in person. There's always a lot going on at your library.
There's a lot. How do you sign up? It seems like I just sort of started getting the newsletter, the digital newsletter, which I get maybe a couple times a month. Do you need to sign up for that, or does that just come with your library card?
Well, we do need your email address in order to send you that, and we would love to have your email address. Some people have been with the library since before email existed, or maybe they didn't offer their email address when they signed up. We are very respectful of your time. Once a week is as often as we email, and it's always a quick informational email about upcoming events, new free services, lots of things like that. You can also follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.
Wow. You all do such great work. How can our listeners support the library?
Really just talk to us. Visit our website, click on Ask Us, and email and tell us what's on your mind. Or drop in and talk to staff at the branches or call them. We'd love to hear from you. You know, circling back to the earlier topic, the outpouring of support after that Hide the Pride action was incredible. People walked into the libraries with handfuls of new books they had just bought at the bookstore and walked over and donated it. They walked in with and they wrote checks. And they also shared their stories with us about how much free access to books and information mean to them. And we really love to hear that.
I should explain, Hide the Pride is the campaign that this conservative political advocacy group that's based in Wisconsin, it's called Catholic Vote. There may be some other organizations that are sort of involved. They were encouraging folks to go to the public libraries, Pride Month displays, in order to, quote, empty local taxpayer-funded libraries of progressive sex and gender-related content aimed at children. It seems like it's not going to be a continuing problem here in Sonoma County, we hope. And it's wonderful that you all had such a quick response. The sort of story got out into the community pretty quickly. There was a Press Democrat story that really covered it well. But, you know, as a member of the LGBT community, I want to express our appreciation for the library and everything you do and how you handled this situation.
Thank you. We're, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened, and trying to inhibit someone else's access to information is wrong. And the unintended consequences of it is, you know, we got to strengthen and firm up our own commitment to inclusion and diversity. And we heard from so many wonderful people like you in the community who really wanted to reach out and support the library. So thank you.
That's great. I'm a huge supporter of the library. You have no idea. I know there were, I think there was a remodel or two put on hold during the pandemic. Do you want to, in the few minutes we have left, talk about where we're going and where you all are going in the future?
Sure. So thank you to everyone who voted for the Measure Y sales tax in 2016. It dramatically increased our budget, and the funds are going towards expansion. So in the next couple of months, you're going to hear about us opening on Sundays at all of our regional libraries all over the county. We're open on Sundays now in downtown Santa Rosa, but we're going to open 11 more branches.
Wow.
Big news is that we are deep in the planning process for a brand new 21st century library in the Roseland community of Santa Rosa. We're working with the city of Santa Rosa. They've been a fantastic partner. They're a big investor. There's going to be a complex on Hearn Avenue that has a library, a cultural center, a fire station, and a pool. So we're going to be part of that. We are working on library, what we call them refreshes. It's kind of a little, maybe a little less than a remodel. The Guerneville Library just reopened about a month ago. If you haven't been back, it's fresh and bright and wonderful inside. The one thing that we retained, a really important thing we retained, was a wonderful staff. There's a new branch manager out there, so stop by and say hi to Mel. The next two refreshes coming up are Petaluma and Healdsburg. So those branches will close temporarily, and then they'll reopen again, brighter, shinier, more accessible, with the most modern library tech and shelving and everything.
Wow.
So, and you're paying for all that with your a very small amount of your property tax and a very small amount of your sales tax. So thank you.
Nice. That's some serious breaking news there, Ray. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks again for joining us, and we love you all at Sonoma County Library, and please keep up the good work.
Well, the love is reciprocal, Gary. We really appreciate everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening tonight. Please remember to listen to Outbeat Radio every Sunday night. Greg Muralia will be here next week. I'll return July 31st with a special fifth Sunday episode. I'll have a conversation with local attorneys Keena Crocker and Naomi Metz about the Supreme Court's devastating ruling that overturned Roe and what it means for our community. Have a wonderful week and enjoy these dog days of summer.